Our first reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And from the Old Testament, from the Psalm 61. O God, listen to my cry, hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me.
Thank you, Heather. Let's pray. Father, your word says that your word is a lamp unto our paths and a light for our feet. And so would you light up the way as we spend this time with you unpacking your word to us. Speak to us a new word. And Lord, I speak the name of Jesus over us as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're looking at, for those of you who perhaps weren't here, I think 2 weeks ago, we started looking at encounters with Jesus and who Jesus encounters after the resurrection. And if you were here, you would possibly remember we looked at Mary at the tomb. Yes? Good, good. Something's working, Lord. We're getting there. And what we do you remember what we said? We said that Jesus asks her a question, says, "Why are you crying?" And he gives her that invitation to put words to her tears and to give Jesus that opportunity to come in and to begin a work with her. And today I wanted to look at the disciples as they're in the upper room. And I wonder before I ask you a question, I wonder if there's a time in your life when you've ever been fearful or anxious. I have a hunch that as I go around the room, there's probably not one person here that would say no. Or that if there is, please come and see me because I need to know how. I think at some stage, we all in our lives have experienced fear or anxiety. And so the disciples are locked in this upper room. They've locked the door because they're scared of the Roman authorities getting hold of them because they're followers of Jesus and they're fearful and filled with anxiety. And it's not surprising that they've locked themselves away because they are recognized by those people who follow Jesus. They are probably incredibly fearful and they're probably anxious and they lock the door. Ever lock the door because you're fearful or anxious? The disciples, just as Mary was grieving, the disciples are grieving their friend and their mentor because for 3 years, all they've done is walk with Jesus. They've had the gift of their teacher and their mentor with them. And I can just imagine, you know, when I was at school, I had my best friend. And whenever I'd get into some kind of trouble with regards to, you know, some other, he was there. He was there to help me and give me some words. And for the disciples, they must have felt like that, you know, when they're walking with Jesus, like, yeah, come on, bring it on. I've got my friend with me, and now he's gone. And I can imagine they're thinking, oh gosh, what now? What now? I wonder if you've ever experienced that, where you've had that person there, and then all of a sudden, you're left on your own. And they're there, they're behind the locked doors, they're grieving Jesus, and life must have been so dark and frightening for them because at this stage, they hadn't realized that Jesus will still rise. In fact, they didn't realize it until Jesus appears to them. And then Jesus appears in their midst and he says these words, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Luke's gospel tells us this. It says they were startled and frightened. As if they weren't frightened enough, Jesus pitches up behind the locked door and says, "Peace be with you." And so Luke's gospel says they were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. They're not expecting him. They're not expecting him to appear. It's no wonder Jesus had to say, "Peace be with you." And do you notice he says it twice? He says, "Peace be with you." And then it tells us, and they were happy, they were joyful. And then it tells us, Jesus says again, "Peace be with you." I wonder what happened between "they were joyful" and "peace be with you." You know, when you go through those times where you're anxious, you're fearful, and then suddenly you're calm, and then it happens again. Peace be with you. A few days later, with the door still locked, Jesus will appear for a third time to the disciples, and this time Thomas will be there. But at this time, he shows up and he shows them, he says, "Take a look at my hands, take a look at my feet." And I can imagine he's thinking, this is going to happen again next week. So he says to the disciples, "Same time, same place next week when Thomas is here." Yeah. Three times Jesus has to say, "Peace be with you," because he says it when Thomas is there. He knew they would be scared. And it's into that fear and anxiety that Jesus speaks. He says, "Peace be with you." I wonder when last you felt that fear and anxiety. Jesus knew they would be scared, and he knows we are fearful. That's why he says, "Do not fear." There are 365 "do not fears" in the Bible. I don't know if you know that. Someone said one for each day. We've just come out of a pandemic 3-4 years ago. We hear about wars. We hear about what's going on in our society. The world is changing. Fear is sweeping over our world. We look at our community. We look at our society. We hear of stabbings. We hear of killings. We hear of overdoses, suicides. Fear and anxiety is sweeping over our world. Businesses are struggling. People are losing their jobs. People are on the margins. In fact, some people are beyond the margins. They're struggling so much at the moment. Families are losing loved ones. And if it wasn't difficult before the pandemic, we now have a cost of life crisis, cost of living crisis. Our social care is in crisis. Our financial sector is in crisis. Our family lives are stretched. Healthcare system is crumbling. And we look around and we think, "Lord, what is going on? What is going on?" And it's no wonder that these words that resonate with the disciples, we need to hear them today again. "Peace be with you." He's not saying, "I'm going to just come and say, ta-da, everything's good." No, but he speaks into the situation. And so I want to give us briefly three things from this disciple's story that I hope may help us today. And if this is not for you, if you're not in this place, that's fine. Just take the words and maybe remember them for somebody who is. But I want to say, I think it's okay to feel anxiety and fear. I think it's okay to feel anxiety and fear. We are human. We are not superheroes. So it's no surprise that we will feel anxious or fearful. Jesus said these words in John 16. He said, "In this world you will have trouble." He didn't say, "In this world you might," or "In this world I'll think," you know, you think, no. "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And God knows that we aren't superheroes. Psalm 103, David says these words. He writes, For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. I believe that Jesus in his humanity has experienced our humanity. Just a few days earlier, before Jesus goes to the cross, we're given the account of him in Gethsemane, and he's anxious, he's fearful. He goes to the disciples and says, "Could you not stay awake just for these few moments with me? That anxiety is coming out. We're told in Luke's gospel that he sweats drops of blood. Do you know how anxious you must be to sweat drops of blood? Luke records these words. He says, he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. I don't know if you've ever sweat great drops of blood, but that's an anxious time that Jesus went through. He knows what he's about to do in the disciples' lives, and he knows where we are. But on that cross, as Jesus was put to death, he cries out these words. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? If anybody thinks Jesus doesn't understand what fear and anxiety looks like, just go and read the Gospels again. He understands what we are going through. And so the fact that Jesus was anxious and fearful is significantly profound for us today, I think. Deeply profound. It says to me that Jesus can relate to our fear and our anxiety, our panic, our paralysis, as was described earlier. Did you notice again that Jesus doesn't knock on the door and he says, hey guys, come outside, come look what's going on. He doesn't pull them away from that fearful situation, but he draws himself into that situation. He appears inside the room with them. He meets them in their fear. In that locked room, he's there, and he greets them with his presence. And if we, like Mary, open up to him and say, this is my struggle, if we put words to our tears, to our pain, to our struggle, he comes into that situation and meets us where we are, in the middle of that anxiety and that fear. So that's the first thing I want to say is it's okay. It's okay if you're feeling something like that today. Because society tells us again that that pain is wrong. Right? If we're feeling something like that, we should try and get rid of it. It's okay. Jesus knows where we are. Secondly, I want to suggest that we allow our anxiety to point us to Jesus. Allow our anxiety or fear to point us to Jesus. If we stay in our fear and anxiety, it can paralyze us. But as we heard from Janice this morning, she cried out to God. She gave him that invitation to come into her life and to allow him to do something. When we can allow our anxiety and fear to bring us closer to Jesus, he starts to work. And we've got an option. We can do one of two things. We can either allow Jesus into the situation, or we can push him away and do it ourselves. Last week, we saw how Mary started to express to Jesus what was going on for her. It allowed Jesus into that area of her life, into the experience that she was going through, that healing could start to take place. She could have easily thought, I don't know if you've ever wondered this, but I wonder about many weird things, you know? Like, why does fridge and refrigerator not have a D in it? But anyway. Mary could have easily, I've just broken your attention, so if you weren't awake, hopefully you're awake now. Mary turns around and she looks and she sees Jesus and she thinks he's the gardener. And she could have said to him, don't worry, you're just a gardener. And walk away and never know the healing embrace of Jesus in that moment. And I think sometimes we do that. Jesus standing right in front of us saying, here I am. And we say, don't worry, I'm okay. I'll deal with this. We don't see when Jesus is in front of us. There is an opportunity for us to express to God what's going on and to allow him to fill us with his peace. Scripture tells us they looked to Jesus. Verse 20, they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. There's a transformation that happens when they see Jesus, when they look to him. So I want to suggest that we have to physically do something. We've got to physically do something. We need to turn and look or turn and express what's going on. David, who's probably, as we read, apart from Samson, maybe the biggest superhero in the Old Testament as he conquers Goliath, you know. I'd love to, yeah? He says these words in Psalm 61, which Heather read for us. From the ends of the earth I call to you. From the ends of the earth. You know how anxious he must have been? From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart is overwhelmed. The greatest superhero who slings Goliath says, I'm overwhelmed with fear. My heart is overwhelmed. He's anxious. And then he says to me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me. Focus my eyes back on you. And in those moments when we feel anxious or fearful, we need to look towards Jesus and to say, help me through this. Bring me your peace. And then thirdly, let me say this quickly. Jesus breathes life into them. I love this. I love this when Jesus brings life into our lives. Just as God breathed life into the humanity, I can just imagine when he's sitting there and Adam's like kind of lying there. And Jesus says, hey, Adam, check this out. And Adam comes to life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being there? Hey? And just as he breathed life in that first instance and the encounter of life at the beginning, so he breathes life into their anxiety and they're overjoyed. If we are willing, the Spirit can breathe life into us and give us life again. Jesus meets us in our tears, but he also meets us in our anxiety. Our anxiety and fear can feel like a locked room and render us powerless. I don't know if you reflect back. I mean, life moves so fast, doesn't it? We've almost forgotten about the pandemic. We've almost forgotten what it did, but it rendered one of the most powerful people in our country, at that time the Prime Minister, it rendered him powerless. He was in hospital for 7 days. He couldn't do a thing, and we think we're in control. Some people may say, but I've been going through this for so many years, and I just can't get a hold on it. And I don't know why God chooses to work sometimes like that, and sometimes takes his time. And sometimes he says, wait. Some people feel that when I was growing up, there was this huge debate about do you take medication or do you wait on Jesus' healing? And we had a pastor who said to us, if the doctors prescribed you medicine, give thanks, pray over it, and say, thank you, Jesus. You know, we get stumped, we get caught between if Jesus has given us something, let's make use of it. God uses anything. And there's an old story about a man who the floods came and he was in his house and he climbed on top of the roof to be safe. And a guy with a tube came past and he said, jump on, I'll help you. He said, no, don't worry, Jesus is going to save me. A few moments later, some rescue team with boats come past and say, jump in, we'll help you. No, 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 don't worry, Jesus is going to help me. A few moments later, a helicopter flies over and they shout, hey, come, jump in the helicopter, grab the rope and we'll pull you up. It's okay, Jesus is going to help me. Eventually, the flood washes over him and he dies and he goes to heaven. And the Lord says to him, he says, why didn't you take the help that was given to you? Yeah? Why didn't you take notice of that? God sends us these things to help us. So I wonder, what is your anxiety or your fear today? What holds you this day? It's okay to feel anxiety and the fear, but let it not hold us. Let it lead us to look towards Jesus and to allow his Spirit to breathe new life into us. May we say the words, come into that place of my anxiety, my fear, and bring your peace. We are children of God. We are loved by the Creator of the world. Somebody once said, I'll finish with this. What is the time? Oh, I've got time. Somebody said there was a society had gone so far, and they thought that they're going to test God, and so they said we're going to have a competition. Who can make the best thing? And so God says, yeah, I'm up for that. No problem. And so as the man's standing there, he starts to take some water, and God says, no, 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 that's mine. And as he's about to take some sand, he says, no, 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 that's mine. And it's about something, Jesus says, no, 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 that's mine. And it just reminds us everything in the world is God's. We have nothing. We are powerless. The Creator of the universe made us. we can only but marvel at the gift and the creation that we are. We are children of the living God, belonging to God through the acceptance, death, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that same, Romans 8, verse 11 says, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. I don't know if you wondered about that, but how powerful is that? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Same Spirit that he breathed in Adam lives in us. The same Spirit that he breathed in the disciples lives in us. That same Spirit that breathed peace to the disciples breathed peace to us today. So let's use it. We have an incredible gift. And I pray that we would allow Jesus to break into our anxiety, into that place that brings us fear and leaves us, renders us powerless. And we'd allow his Spirit to breathe unto us and give us life. Jesus gives us courage to call out in the midst of our anxiety. He says, I'm here. I'm here. Will you come and lay at my feet what's bothering you? And then Scripture says, I will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And so Jesus is present now. I just want us to just close our eyes if you want to. Just be still.